Showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. The show is overtime, clocking in at 6:02 here to end your week. Congrats, you have made it. And if you're not off work yet, just hang in there. You will get through it, and we will be with you up until 8 o'clock tonight to help guide you through the end of your work week. I'm your host, Tanner Carson. I've got Ben Thurman in the house, and also we've got my producer, Cole McCormick, as always, running the board, making sure we are technically excellent today. Gentlemen, it's Friday. It's beautiful outside. Ben, gorgeous, you're still at UT, man, so you're on spring break now.
Technically I am.
How's it feel?
Good. Once I leave this door at 8 o'clock, be feeling a lot better, but...
Yeah. Happy spring break. Yeah.
Hey, I wish I was on spring break.
Yeah, me too.
I wish
too.
You do.
I wish I wasn't an adult, but here I am.
Yeah. Here we are.
All right. We'll deal with it.
We've had our fun.
We have had our fun.
It's time for these youngins to have their fun.
Our fun in the sun.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. So you're going up to Vegas, Ben.
Yeah, first time.
When you hopping on your flight?
It's not till Monday morning, but we're going to Atlanta for a couple of days.
Ooh.
Nice. Should be a fun
and
one there.
Spend the whole week out in the desert.
Have fun out in Vegas, man. I've been wanting to go for a while, and
Cole
lived there for 3
years.
Yeah,
did not know that at all.
So he knows it very well.
Mm-hmm, I do.
You moved before you turned 21, though, right?
To Vegas or from Vegas?
From Vegas.
Yes. Okay, I was 20 when I moved back
so
there.
So you never got to really experience like the real casinos, right?
Not in the sense of gambling.
Or did they
but,
can,
I mean,
they can
you
let
can,
you in when you're 18.
I mean,
you just can't gamble.
Yeah, you can't. Okay. They're very strict, though. If you're under 21 and you just happen to stop on the gambling floor just to look, somebody will come in and escort you off. Can't even stop to watch. You have to keep moving.
Man. That's very strict.
They're very strict about
you
it.
You have a bunch of Caesar's Palace goons just pick you up by your shirt tail.
No, not me. I did spend a lot of time at Caesars. My mom used to work down at Caesars.
Oh, really?
So
wow.
I spent a lot of time down there. Yeah.
So you from here, moved there for a couple of years, and came back?
He's got a weird story.
Okay,
now.
Okay.
So he's like, you're originally trace your roots what to West Tennessee, right?
Yeah, West and Middle.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you lived in Florida, right?
Florida. Yeah, I lived in Orlando growing up, and then moved to Vegas my junior year of high school.
He had to be in Florida through the Tebow years.
The very first year we lived in Florida was when Will Hoyt hit that 50-yard field goal. And then after that, started the losing
there.
Streak. Yeah, so I have been ragged on many times.
Yikes. Man, Cole's come a long way to get to this point.
Hey, started from the bottom. Now I'm here.
And arguably, with Tennessee Athletics, we might still be a little bit at the bottom.
We're kind of still there.
Especially for football. Not basketball, though. Basketball, fantastic season. You can say what you want to about not getting regular season tournament regular season title. We haven't even started a tournament yet. But 27-4, Tennessee. They get the double bye. Vols back in action for the first time in 6 days tonight. The approximate tip-off time is 9:30 tonight.
Depends on the Kentucky-Alabama game.
It'll be closer to 10. Let's be honest. It'll be closer to 10 when that game
late
tips
basketball.
Off. Late basketball from Nashville. Now, it is the nightcap for the SEC tournament quarterfinals. Tennessee taking on Mississippi State. Found out last night that it would, in fact, be Mississippi State, as most of us thought it would be. Mississippi State easily handles Texas A&M. Texas A&M is trash.
They're trash. And what was a 36-point win? 34-36?
It was, let me see. I think it ended up being like...
They had like 90 points or something.
They could have easily won by 40. 80-54.
Oh, okay.
So
still,
a 26-point win, but still pretty damn bad. They thoroughly dominate Texas A&M. That doesn't concern me whatsoever. I knew Texas A&M was bad, and I know Mississippi State's a solid tournament team. This is nothing new right now. Mm-hmm. But the line comes out today. Tennessee opened about a 5.5-point favorite. That line has now jumped up to a even 6. So Tennessee about 6-point favorite. The Vols won very handily the only regular season meeting, and that was just a little over a week ago for senior night and TBA. So not really a lot of time apart from playing this team. So not much is really going to change as far as this opponent is concerned. Unless, in case I missed it here, let me see if he played last night. I know the other Witherspoon, Nick, has been, he had a suspension. Is that suspension been lifted? He did not play last night.
I don't think he's going to play.
So I don't think he's going to play either. So still without Nick Witherspoon. However, they got an SEC first-teamer in Quindary Witherspoon.
Brother.
We got, exactly. They got other great shooters. Tyson Carter, Lamar Peters. They're going to shoot threes. I mean, they did it in TBA. Granted, Tennessee's defense was rock solid in the second half.
Very good at that game.
Made sure that they did not have any type of effect when it came to distance shooting in the second half. And you also know, you talk about Reggie Perry, Abdul Ado. I can never pronounce his name. Yeah, Abdul Ado. Tall dudes. They got like three guys in that main rotation that are 6'10 or taller. So they're going to bring good shooters. Going to bring some tall guys. It could definitely be a frustrating game tonight. And it's the SEC tournament. It's Tennessee playing in the SEC tournament. Expect something frustrating. Even if it ends up being a win, just expect to be frustrated. Keep your cup on. Because this is the exact same situation as last year. You're playing Mississippi State on the Friday quarterfinal game. After, in the regular season meeting, you dominated them. And we remember how that went last year. It was a fight to the end. They could have easily won that game or sent it into overtime with a couple of late shots, but Tennessee held on to win by 3 in regulation. I expect Mississippi State to put up a closer contest than what we saw in Thompson Bowling Arena. Did either of you watch them play A&M last night? Because I really didn't. I kept up with it.
I did a little.
When I saw how much of a blowout was, I'm like, no, I'm just going to watch Duke-Syracuse.
Yeah, they. I was the
very locked in the Duke-Syracuse game.
Yeah, I was like you, Tanner. I started watching A&M and Mississippi State just because it is the league and the winner we would play tonight. So I watched, and then, I mean, A&M, bless their hearts, they're not good. Mississippi State is much better than they are. Mississippi State had their way, did whatever they wanted. So I eventually did turn over to Duke-Syracuse, but I did tune in. Mississippi State looked very good, but you have to also look and see
who
they played. Yes. Yeah.
This is a Texas A&M team that ended up easily beating Vanderbilt, like the worst SEC team of all time, but they struggled with trying to beat Vanderbilt and trying to dominate them. Texas A&M is 3 games below 500.
Yeah.
Overall. We know that's not a good team. And we know, to their credit, Mississippi State is still good. They did what they were supposed to do last night. Mm-hmm. As much as I was hoping for a Texas A&M upset, I'd love to play that crappy team on their third game in 3 days.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Can't always get what you want, though, as the Rolling Stones song went.
Speaking of Billy Kennedy, we already knew this was going to happen, but it's just official now. Jimmy Dykes tweets 17 minutes ago, Billy Kennedy is out at Texas A&M. Just spoke with Billy, a phenomenal man and coach. He deserves to be treated well.
And now Texas A&M will proceed to back up the Brinks truck at Buzz Williams up in Blacksburg.
And I think they will. I do not want him in conference.
I don't either.
I do not want him in conference.
He's not going to be a coach that's going to make that program an elite team, but he's going to make it a program you would hate to play.
Yes.
Absolutely would hate to play here. Mm-hmm. Getting back on this Tennessee-Mississippi State part two tonight, it was 71-54 Tennessee in TBA. Could have been a lot worse. Tennessee really let off the gas.
Once those seniors came in.
Yeah, but, and especially when you put Brad Woodson.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because like, everyone wants them to play and everyone wants them to like get some shots up. But it was like 22 when they put them in, and it ended up being only 14 or
17.
Something. But it was 14 before Brad Woodson hit the three.
So. It's like, yeah, you want them in. Yeah, you see why they sit on the bench.
Yeah, exactly.
You see why they're
plus
there for
minus is not too great.
Looking through the box score here just to see what you really need to replicate, look at the defense first, man. You held Mississippi State to just hitting a third of their shots. And a lot of that, too, was due to you gave up easy baskets just because you played lazy near the end. So you could have held them to maybe exactly 30% or below. It could have been that bad. They also hit a couple threes in some garbage time, too. They only finished hitting four of their 16 three-pointer attempts. And this
That's
was at that
be a little bit different tonight.
Yeah, remember that point in the season where we were so concerned about Tennessee's three-point defense?
Yeah.
And then you had those back-to-back lockdown performances against Kentucky and Mississippi State, with Mississippi State being an excellent three-point shooting team.
Yeah.
Like you said, Ben, I don't think it's going to be 4 of 16 tonight. But if you hold the percentage to maybe them hitting just 25%, it's going to be good.
That's going to be good. What did Auburn do? I mean, because they obviously they shoot more threes than I think anyone in the SEC, and they killed us.
They took. I mean, they obviously season, took a lot too, but they hit 13.
Like 13.
It was like 13 to 34.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's I think that's them night in and night out.
Yeah.
That's just what they do.
You saw it today against South Carolina. They got everybody on that team can hit a three-pointer. Not exactly the same with Mississippi State, but as I mentioned, Witherspoon, Lamar Peters, Tyson Carter, they got dudes that can knock down threes. And they're going to try to take a lot tonight, too. I think Quindary Witherspoon will be out for a little bit of vengeance. He played almost the entire game. He played 39 minutes. You held him to 7 points. And you caused him to commit 8 turnovers as well. He had a terrible game. This is an SEC first teamer, okay?
Yeah.
He shot 3 of 12.
Mm-hmm.
And you absolutely locked him down. Lamar Peters, fantastic shooter. That's probably Mississippi State's best overall shooter. Didn't hit a 3. 2 of 10 from the field.
That's nice.
The only shooter that had like a decent-ish game was Carter, and he only went 5 of 11, and he hit 2 of 4 from deep.
Golly.
And finished with 14 points.
Golly.
That's it. That's it. And even though there were a lot of like frustrating rebounds that Mississippi State got just because of their pure length, you ended up out-rebounding them by 4.
Mm. Okay.
I think the formula is pretty simple here. Whatever worked last time, do the same thing, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You just have to lock down that perimeter, and you may lose the rebounding battle, but as long as they're not hitting their shots, I don't really see what should be different about this time. You had, on offense, you had a very decent night. It was Admiral Schofield's senior night. He hit 18. He was on fire from the get-go. I think you let him start the game and just see how he is throughout maybe the first 8 minutes or so. Let him let the chopper fly on some possessions.
Sure.
I'm not saying take stupid shots, but I mean, let Admiral get into a groove. I think if you got him into a groove early, that would just, and not to say the team's nervous, but that would definitely settle everybody down.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because there is some type of subconscious nervousness, right, when it comes to the first game of a tournament. This is the postseason now. This is March. The guys are probably going to be feeling a little anxious, even though they've been here before. It's just natural to feel a little anxiety, I would think.
Yeah, I agree, though, because I was actually talking about this with some of my friends last night. Like, we know Grant is going to do Grant. Like, I think our biggest focus would be to get Admiral going, which so feed him early because Grant's gonna get what he wants.
Yes.
But if we have Grant and Admiral clicking at the same time, it's very tough for anyone to beat us. So
yeah,
feed Admiral early.
Grant was
get shots up.
Grant was clicking in the last meeting too. Didn't really have to take a lot of shots. Only took 8 shots, but he finished with a very efficient game: 14 points, 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
Also added in 3 assists as well. This was the last game. Kyle Alexander, I thought he had a really good game: 6 points, 10 rebounds.
It's very good for him.
And 4 blocks as well.
It's very good.
That's
game.
A great Kyle game.
Yeah.
So let the same type of dudes have the same type of game. Jordan Bowden, 12 points off the bench as well.
Okay.
Now, taking 12 shots to get to those 12 points, but.
Yeah, sure.
As long as balance your microwave option off the bench, everything's going to be normal as well. The only two glaring deficiencies I see here, one.
Lamonte Turner.
Well, I was going to get to Lamonte, but Jordan Bone had an off night. He only hit 1 of 7, and this was probably like a law of averages type of game coming off him dominating Kentucky. Only had 5 points, but he did have a good game. Had 6 assists, including that beautiful bounce pass.
Oh, perfect.
Where he just
pass.
Thread the needle and found Kyle Alexander.
Perfect bounce pass.
Absolute art. So let Jordan Bone get into a little bit of a scoring mood again. And Ben, you already mentioned it. Something has to click for Lamonte Turner. And here's the thing tonight. You don't even need him to click again from the scoring standpoint. As long as he's not shooting you out of a game.
Yeah, exactly.
And as long as he's still contributing in assists, as long as he's still having a good defensive night.
Yeah, he's been playing good on-ball defense. just his shot hasn't been there recently.
Yeah, well, Mississippi State shooters, this would be an important night for him to have a good defensive game. He had 6 assists against Mississippi State as well. He can contribute in ways other than long contested three-pointers. He doesn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope Rick has really, really helped him understand that. Because he talked about it in the press conference after the Auburn game. Said sometimes Lamonte doesn't realize that he can affect the game in ways other than scoring. And he's just in a slump right now. We know Lamonte's not a bad shooter. He's just been in a bad slump, though. He's getting that Jordan Bowen disease. What happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
We thought Bowen was going through another slump. He's okay.
He's kind of come out of it, yeah.
Bowen's better now.
Sure.
But, man, Turner, I just don't get it, man.
Yeah.
And even sometimes when he gets open looks, the rim's just unkind to him.
Yeah, it really is.
So he's really got to make sure. I think that might be the most important thing tonight because there's no other glaring deficiency from the last time you faced these guys for me to look at other than Lamonte Turner. Just don't shoot us out of the game tonight,
sure,
please.
And play our style of offense.
And do the other things that you can do well, do them well. And everything else is just going to work naturally.
When we play our style of basketball and not try to match the opponents, you know, example, Auburn, we can beat anybody. We really can.
I don't think you'd have to worry about that with Mississippi State.
No, I don't think so either.
Because they kind of play similar-ish style of ball as you do. They're just a taller version of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Ben Howen, he likes to be a defensive-first type of coach.
Sure.
He likes to make it physical.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, you would hope that Howen would try to make that physical type of game whereas you don't want Tennessee trying to play the same type of style as a team like Auburn does. I don't think a lot of teams would want to play a physical type of game with Tennessee.
No.
Come out and set the tone tonight. I mean, it's just that simple. You just beat these guys a week ago.
Bad.
Don't fall into the type of trap you almost fell in with this exact same team last year.
You beat them worse than the score shows.
Yes.
You could have beat them easily, in my opinion, by at least 20, maybe even 25, 30. If you wouldn't have pulled the starters out, yeah. I mean, we killed them the entire game.
Entire game.
I'm not super anxious about this, although I know it's a tournament. Keep your cup on. Keep it close by. Don't have any type of expectations. But I'm just saying, man, I would see this definitely being a closer contest than it was in Knoxville. But both teams played their best game.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee is about a good 10-plus points better.
Better than Mississippi State, yes.
I think it's just that simple. But, hey, you just got to follow the winning formula tonight. Hit this first break of the program, 865-546-8200. Opened up the fan-run phone lines here. Got a lot more tournament talk on the way. We got Lucas Panzica joining us at 6:30 tonight, as he does once a week here on the program. Don't want to miss that coming up here soon. Keep it tuned here to Overtime Fan Run Radio.
Let's drop!
Earlier SEC tournament games already have concluded over there at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. The upset of the day, and the one that you just hated to see today, fellas. LSU, number one seeded LSU, goes down in flames in their first game of the tournament. Florida wins the rubber match of these two teams here. And again, it was another close game. This one did not go into overtime, though.
Just about did, though.
Andrew Nembhard.
Mm-hmm. Nembhard, yeah.
Yeah, I never heard of him.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Freshman. Really good three-point shooter for him. Knocks down a clutch three-pointer. Florida had a three-point lead with about less than 15 seconds to go. Naz Reid, however, knocks down another three-pointer.
Yeah, how about Naz Reid?
They could not stop Naz Reid today.
He looks like he's so casually shooting the ball when he does it. Just this like big 6'10 guy just flicking it up there. Looks like he's just like, all right, whatever, I'll just shoot this. Went in every time.
Three of four from his deep attempts.
Two extremely clutch threes.
Naz Reid is out there playing like a guy who is like, I don't care what happens to this program.
Exactly.
I don't care what happens to Will Wade. I'm going to be a first-round pick. I don't care.
Smirk on his face.
Yeah. 26 points, 14 rebounds for Naz Reid. completely dominated Florida. However, it obviously was not enough. Andrew Nembhard hits the clutch three with about a second left to lift Florida over LSU. 76-73 here. I thought Mike White was going to coach him out of it, man. I was really waiting for some stupid offensive set. I was waiting for some dumb decision from Mike White, and it didn't happen. They actually got a shot off this time. And wouldn't you know it, it actually fell. Cannot believe it.
Yeah.
Florida is solidly in the tournament now. You cannot keep them out now. They got 19 wins. They got two wins over LSU, some other quality wins. Looking through this box score here. All their starters, man, all their starters scored in double figures. Hard to really be a team when you got all of your starters really playing really good basketball.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Especially hitting from three at a consistent rate like they were doing. On the flip side, Nasri and Javonte Smart, who did play today, did not keep him out of that one, which is pretty puzzling.
Yeah.
When I first saw that.
Sure.
But I guess LSU, even without Will Wade, is just taking the standpoint and the mindset of, screw it. Just play everybody. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Screw it.
But Nas Reed, Javonte Smart, the only two LSU players in double figures. Already mentioned that Reed had 26. Javonte Smart added 13 off the bench. Outside of that, not a lot of other help. Tremont Waters had 9.7 assists. Also had four turnovers, though. And also had a lot of untimely fouls.
Not a great day, paying attention
to the game. Cavell Bigby Williams, the big dude who looks like when he stretches his arms out, he's like 12 feet tall.
He's a big guy.
He fouled out near the end of regulation.
That hurts.
So a lot of mental mistakes LSU made. You got to think, just in the back of their mind, their impending doom may have played a factor in this.
Maybe so.
But now with LSU out, and Auburn, just recently before we came on the air, they take down South Carolina by 9. So, your semifinal tomorrow, either Auburn or Florida is getting to the championship game on Sunday.
That's incredible.
And neither of those teams had the double bye.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So they're going to be playing their fourth game in 4 days, whoever wins.
Yeah.
Woo!
It's nuts, man. It's nuts.
So that's your top half of the bracket there. Tonight's games, right before Tennessee takes on Mississippi State, it will be Kentucky versus Alabama. Alabama with a big second half comeback to take care of Ole Miss last night.
Have you seen that? What's it called? Have you seen the spread for that game?
It's Kentucky by a lot, I would assume.
13.
Yeah, that's high.
13.
And we only got six. I mean, obviously Mississippi State's a better team than
and ours is six.
Alabama. You know what? Six. Yeah.
I'd be tempted to take Kentucky in the points on that one. I think Kentucky.
No, I mean that's not ridiculous thing to say. I think they could blow them out. Yeah, but.
I see it.
But the spreads are always like somewhat
right.
Real. Like it's not never going to be like 18.
No, nothing like that.
I mean, I could see it
the
too.
The spreads are going to be closer than they could be.
Because I don't see Alabama bringing a lot of fans to the arena tonight.
Oh, God. No.
It's going to be all blue.
Every time they pan in the arena, when they pan out on Broadway, it's just blue.
Yeah.
Even if Kentucky. I was watching the LSU Florida game, and it was just like they would show. Everywhere. I think the cameraman saw blue. So it was like, oh, Florida. It was all Kentucky.
Yeah.
Whenever they play their first game, they will just show up and they will just stay the whole day.
They sit there in the seats.
So they will sit there for the whole, like, 11 hours.
Uh-huh. I mean, they're too dumb to know how to walk around.
I couldn't do
you
it.
You know, one of the most famous cities in the country.
The Nashville tourist trap spots, they have to just – their eyes have to gleam with cash and dollar signs when the Kentucky fans come down.
Oh, yes.
Because you know they'll go to all the tourist trap places.
Oh, yes.
Like Hattie B's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Hattie B's probably out the door and down around the block with blue.
Mm-hmm.
What's another big tourist trap spot? Tootsie's.
Tootsie's,
They're definitely going to Tootsie's. Isn't there an Old Red on Broadway?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God. They're going to –
Speaking of that, it's about to open in Gatlinburg.
There'll probably be a lot of Kentucky fans up there on the spring break, too.
Tin Roof.
They love Tin Roof. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All the typical Nashville places, they will just be infiltrating. But, yeah, they'll hang around for our game, too.
Of course.
Do you think they'll be cheering for Mississippi State? I think they would.
Yeah, of course. They hate us.
Well, I know that, too. It's like they obviously want the easier matchup.
Yeah, it's a win-win for them.
Big win-win for them. I kind of hate it that Alabama won. I don't think Alabama matches up with Kentucky.
I don't either.
This is despite the fact that Alabama beat Kentucky.
But I think that's a good point.
I think that's a different Kentucky team they beat down Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that was still what Kentucky was still down.
That was game one of the conference schedule, too.
Oh, was it? So, yeah, they were still kind of down.
Still down.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been coming on as of late.
It has been that long since they played. And I just think Ole Miss, with their ability to stretch the floor with their shooting and the multiple athletic guard options, maybe a little smaller than Kentucky, a little less lengthy, but they'd be able to outshoot them if they needed to.
Yeah.
Alabama can match up well with length, but is Alabama going to have the damn offense?
I don't think so. Petty's going to have to play very, very well.
Oh, please, Predator. Please. Just because I don't want to play Kentucky. I don't think that's a secret.
Yeah. I don't either.
I admit it. I'm a coward. I am a coward.
I want the easiest possible way.
I want the easiest possible way. I do not want to play Kentucky, sir.
Even though it would be so sweet to beat him in the tournament, I still don't want to take that chance.
You know what?
I still don't want to take it.
You know what would be really bad, though? Losing to them in the semis.
Yeah, no, yeah, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Deliver me the Tide.
Please.
Deliver me the Tide. We'll take care of him again.
Yeah.
I don't think John Pay is going to go off on us.
Yeah, that he did have the game of his life when they were up here.
He did. I think I'm starting now.
I will say, if you want that one seed, playing Kentucky is probably what you need to do that.
I don't care about the one seed anymore. I mean, I really don't.
You think if we play Alabama and then we beat Auburn in the championship, we get a one seed? If that happens.
I think
it still win the SEC tournament.
I think a lot would have to depend on what happens in the ACC.
Take Kentucky's one seed.
They would take Kentucky's.
So, yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Probably will be.
You probably wouldn't have to worry about what happened in the ACC. Yeah. That's a good point, because Joey Brackett's has Kentucky on the one line right now. Yeah, Kentucky. If Kentucky loses to Alabama, they've lost that one
Yeah,
line.
They lost that one seed.
There's no argument for that. All right, got to hit this break here and get to Lucas Panzeca coming up next. 865-546-8200 if you want to call in and wait behind Lucas when he gets off here. Mr. Panzeca will be on coming up next to talk about the SEC tournament and also talk about his Tennessee Titans making some pretty interesting moves in free agency today as well. Don't want to miss what he has to say coming up next here on Overtime. Back on the program here, about to get over and speak to Lucas Panzeca, sports director of WDKN Radio, out in the mid-state, out in Dixon, Tennessee. Pick his brain on a couple of items here, making his weekly appearance on the show here, Fox Sports Knoxville and Overtime alum. Okay, I got my headphones in. I am ready. Let's bring him on, Cole. Lucas, welcome in, buddy.
What's up, guys? How are y'all doing on this fine Friday?
Buddy, you're doing fantastic. It is beautiful weather out there. I assume it is the same in your neck of the woods.
Yes, it is. It is awesome.
Yeah, you broke out your shorts today, man. You living life?
Well, it's actually not that warm. It was really warm yesterday. It's kind of been, the high has been in the mid to low 50s. It is sunny, which is nice, but it's not as warm as it was.
Hey, man, I'll take anything over the rain that we have been getting. Absolutely. Lucas, we're going to ask you about the SEC tournament out there in Nashville in just a second, but let's first start by talking to you about your Tennessee Titans making some pretty notable moves today in free agency, man. Let's start off first things first here on the quarterback front. So the Titans, they have released Blaine Gabbert, but on the flip side, they have added somebody I would never thought that would be a quarterback for the Titans this soon, but they have added Ryan Tannehill, formerly of the Dolphins here, to be a backup for Marcus Mariota. Thoughts on getting Tannehill? What does this really mean for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I'd seen his name bounced around a little bit as a potential option because you know he's not going to be starting anywhere this coming season with all he's dealt with the last couple of years. But it's an upgrade. I mean, you talked about Matt Cassel 2 years ago, Blaine Gabbert this past season. up to Ryan Tannehill, it's only a step up. And it's just someone that can come in and win a game for you if Marcus Mariota goes down. You know, it's hard to ask Matt Castle and Blaine Gabbert to go out and win a game for you, but I think it's reasonable that Ryan Tannehill could come in and win one, maybe two games for you, because Marcus Mariota has never had a season in his pro career where he's played all 16 games. So it's a really good pickup. You know, we saw Teddy Bridgewater get re-signed by the Saints, Tyrod Taylor go to the Chargers. I think those were the two that Titans fans would have liked the most to come in and back Mariota, but no, I don't think there's any Titans fans not pleased with this deal.
Obviously, you need a sure type of thing when it comes to backup for Mariota with the aforementioned health issues. But Ryan Tannehill, you alluded to it a little bit earlier. He's had history of health issues himself. What's your level of concern here for if, and let's just face it, when Mariota goes down at some point this season, even if it's just for a half or something like that, what's your level of concern that the same thing could immediately happen to Tannehill and then the Titans are scrambling for some type of option at QB?
Right. Well, I looked into that. His first 4 or 5 years as a pro, he played all 16 games for the Dolphins. And then I think it was the 2017 season that he missed the whole thing with that ACL tear that I believe he tore his ACL in the last game of the 2016 season and missed all 2017. And then this past year, he dealt with some injuries. He did play in 13 games, which is still more than Marcus Mariota did this season. But I don't think it's too big of a concern for this organization. They can't concern themselves with worrying about that if he gets hurt, if he has to come in, because, if all goes well, he doesn't have to come in. So it's an upgrade, man. That's all I can really say about it, because Blaine Gabbert, healthy, is still going to turn the ball over, and you're not really going to win any games. So, they made an upgrade. He did deal with some injuries the last 2 years, but no, like I said, there's no Titans fan out there right now that is not really happy about this right now, because with Bridgewater and Tyrod Taylor going elsewhere, I think people just thought the Titans would be stuck with Blaine Gabbert for another year.
Let's go to the other signing that the Titans made today, flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Pretty notable name now joining the Titans. And this is someone else who is like Ryan Tannehill, a former Miami Dolphin. Talking about defensive end / linebacker, just all around good pass rusher. And Cameron Wake now joining the Titans here. Thoughts, and maybe you can give a grade on the Cameron Wake signing here. His career speaks for itself. Very successful career, 5-time Pro Bowler, fantastic tenure with the Dolphins. But you look at his age too, 37 years old. How much of a real impact do you see him making on the defensive side next year?
I see him making an impact. You know, he's not coming in here for a big workload. He's going to come in on third down passing situations. If it's a situation where the other team is going to run the ball, I promise you, Cameron Wake will not be in the ballgame. He's 37, but he still has some to give. And just the guy to be in that locker room with Harold Landry, Sharif Finch, a couple of the young Titans pass rushers. And I still think it's something they're going to address in the draft. But I saw no problems with this signing either. He's 37, but he's not coming in for the biggest workload. They want Harold Landry to be that guy. They want Harold Landry to be their all-pro pass rusher in the coming years. And he showed plenty of flashes of it this past season. But in terms of a guy to come in, third down passing situations, play 30 snaps a game max. It's a good pickup. Like you said, his name kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about the Titans making the moves in the upcoming draft, I mean, man, it's going to be out in Nashville. It's going to be in the heart of Titans country out there at the end of next month. Titans, of course, have their first pick is in the 19th overall pick in the first round here. Lucas, give me your ideal first-round pick for the Titans, and maybe, I mean, I don't know how much of a draft board you have maybe compiled in your head recently. Who would you like to see maybe, like, at least if not specific, specific players picked up in the first few rounds? Give me some specific needs.
If you ask a Titans fan, a week ago, before all this free agency, probably a lot of them would say wide receiver first. A lot of them would say edge rusher, and a lot of them would say interior offensive line. Well, they addressed all three of those this past week. We just talked about Wake and Tannehill. We haven't talked about Humphreys and Stafford, who I think are the two best signings the Titans have made this week, especially Roger Saffold coming in from the Rams to help that offensive line, at least on the left side of it, with him and Taylor Lewan running that direction. You have Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, and Derrick Henry coming at you. There's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do. So I thought that was the best pickup the Titans made And so, you know, all this whole week is definitely going to have an impact in their draft. I'd still like to see an interior offensive lineman, the guy from NC State whose name always escapes me. And a lot of mocks have had tight ends going to the Titans this season. And with the addition of Adam Humphries and like I said, Saffold and Wake, I don't think many Titans fans would mind that too much, too, with Hawkinson coming in from Iowa and a couple others on the board. So if they went interior defensive line and tight end and then address the edge rusher or interior defensive line in the second round, I think that could be a direction they go.
Speaking with Lucas Panzeca, Fox Sports Knoxville alum, sports director of WDKN out there in Dixon, Tennessee, in the Mid-State. Switched us over to the SEC tournament now, Lucas. Two games already went final today in the first few matchups of the quarterfinal round. Florida taking down number one seed LSU 76-73, and then your afternoon
game. Yeah,
that game
was wild.
Yeah, absolutely. Loved watching that with a big bar full of people in Knoxville, man, when they're all cheering on Florida. You know,
I was gonna say, who are folks over there rooting for? Was it Florida?
It was Florida, man, just because of LSU taking away Tennessee's regular season title, them being a bunch of cheaters, all that good stuff. It was decisively against LSU, and then also
no. Listen, I think Tennessee with Rick Barnes would take playing Florida in the title game over anybody else in that field.
Oh, for sure. And Florida's opponent tomorrow, Auburn, is they're going to face Auburn. Auburn wins by 9 today over South Carolina, and you got 2 down, 2 more to go. Before we preview tonight's matchups, Lucas, anything has really, really come out and shocked you so far in the SEC tournament? Would you consider Florida over LSU the only real big shocker?
Sure, but I don't even think that's a shocker. As soon as the tournament started, I said that was LSU's best basketball was behind them. As soon as that tournament started, with everything surrounding Will Wade, even with Javonte Smart back, I thought there was no way LSU was going to come in and win that tournament. And I think there'll still be a first or second round exit in the NCAA tournament because, you know, I'm just going to assume Will Wade's not coaching another game in Baton Rouge, so at least not this season. But to be honest, I'm not really shocked by anything so far. I had Auburn in the championship game. I still think that's going to happen. So no, to answer your question, I'm still waiting on that big shocker. If anything, the biggest shock to me is how Alabama played in that second half in the comeback against Ole Miss.
Yeah, Alabama played a fantastic half. Avery Johnson, of course, got the team to rally around him because this is tournament hopes on the line, and this is also Avery Johnson trying to keep off the hot seat in Tuscaloosa going into next season. Lost up on the line for the Tide, and if they didn't already punch their ticket to the tournament last night, certainly a big upset over Kentucky tonight would do that. Do you think Alabama gives Kentucky a big fight? They won the only meeting in the regular season down Tuscaloosa.
I could see him giving them a fight. This side of the bracket, it's eerily similar to how it played out a year ago because you had Kentucky playing Alabama, and I know Kentucky beat Bama in the regular season matchup a year ago, but with this situation, you know, Tennessee handling Mississippi State a couple of weeks ago and then getting them in that first SEC tournament game, it's exactly what happened a year ago with Tennessee ran them out of their gym in Starkville and then, you know, almost blew it. I remember the Vols tried to give that one away as much as they could. I think I did voluntary reaction that game. And we were all breathing a huge sigh of relief. So it's weird how it all comes together, kind of like it did last year. But I can't really see Bama beating Kentucky. It just kind of reminds me of the last season. Bama ran Auburn out of the gym in St. Louis before playing Kentucky, and then Kentucky just blew them out by 23. So I think you'll see something pretty similar to that. But Alabama might have already played themselves in, although Florida beating LSU probably doesn't help them too much.
Yeah, probably not. We'll have to see how that shakes down Selection Sunday because Florida is 100% in the tournament now. Let's end your weekly appearance on the show, buddy, with, of course, asking you what everybody is anxiously awaiting tonight here. It may be after 10 o'clock Eastern by the time this finally tips off. But Tennessee-Mississippi State, your nightcap in the SEC tournament tonight, a rematch of a quarterfinal game last year. And you already mentioned it. Mississippi State took Tennessee down to the wire in that one. Only a 3-point victory for the Vols. You got both these teams meeting again in similar situations, but both teams, compared to last year, are much better. Tennessee's much better than last year, and Mississippi State for sure is better than last year. Tennessee just recently, as of a little over a week ago, beat Mississippi State by 17. I would expect that everybody's going to think it's going to be much closer than 17 this time around. What are the odds of Tennessee getting upset tonight, and what are you really expecting tonight?
Well, first of all, finally, right? It feels like everybody's been having fun in Nashville without us, and we get to finally join the party tonight. I don't remember this feeling like it was this long of a wait before watching them in the first game. But man, I don't see Tennessee losing tonight, and I also don't see it being a blowout like it was on senior night, where all the emotion, Admiral Schofield, Kyle Alexander, they were never going to lose that game, and that was never going to be a close game. I think Mississippi State knew it the whole way. Going into halftime, they knew it, and that's not the case this time. You're on a neutral floor. It's SEC tournament. It's March. Anything goes. So I can't see it being the same type of game it was in Knoxville. But I can't really see Tennessee losing tonight either.
I hope not, man. I definitely hope not. And even though I'm kind of expecting something a little more frustrating, just because it is the SEC tournament, and it is.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be tearing our hair out all night tonight. I promise.
I hope it doesn't come down to like a last possession like last year. I think we're all hoping to breathe a little bit easier, man. But Lucas,
yeah. I mean, last year they tried as hard as they could to give that one away. I don't remember the exact details of it, but man, because I remember Tennessee had a lead, a 9-point lead or something like that, with a couple minutes to play, and they just made some boneheaded decisions. So let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Yeah, definitely pray it doesn't come down to that. Lucas, once again, appreciate you joining us, buddy. Before you get off of here, man, tell the people where they can follow you on social media and where they can listen to you out in the mid-state. I know you got baseball and softball. If it's not already started out there for Dixon County, it's right around the corner, man. So tell the people where they can listen to you.
Yeah, it's at Lucas Penzica on Twitter, and baseball softball is underway. I'll be on air tomorrow, though, at 9:30 Eastern time over there on WDKN.com streaming. So if anyone's up early enough and wants to get their SEC tournament fix.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, you heard it here first. You're out there in the around the mid-state area, or you just want to hear Lucas's amazing sports takes and amazing voice. You know where to listen to him, man. Lucas, as always, brother, we appreciate you hopping on here.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you guys soon.
That is Lucas Panzica, sports director, WDKN Radio in Dixon, Tennessee, Fox Sports Knoxville, and Overtime alum, making his weekly presence felt here on Overtime. We got to catch this break here and finish hour number one. When we come back, 865-546-8200, 546-8200 to join us here. More of Overtime on the other side. ESPN can rest easy now. Zion Williamson is back. Oh, and he was back in the big way last night. Duke taking down Syracuse in the quarterfinal of the ACC tournament out there in Charlotte. He did not miss a single shot.
13 for 13.
I knew as soon as he made that first breakaway dunk after that steal.
Yeah, the game was over at that point.
Like here comes the 10 replays. Although, to Syracuse's credit,
yeah,
man.
They gave him a game. They did give
Frank
him a
Howard
game.
And Buddy Boeheim, of all people.
Yeah.
Keeping the orange in that one. But at the end of the day, it was too little too late. Duke wins that one by 12 points. You see, I don't think how you didn't see this one. The video of Frank Howard trying to trip Zion Williamson.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that.
And did you also see Jay Williams?
I saw.
He stands up on his soapbox at halftime. He should be kicked out of the game. The refs should go back and look at the tape. We don't need this in this game. I said the same thing with the Grayson Allen thing when he was tripping people.
No, you didn't.
Get old Fred from Freezing Cold Tanks finds the video. Jason Williams talking to TMZ of all people, TMZ Sports.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like on some New York street corner, saying that, you know what? I don't care that Grayson Allen trips people.
I like it.
Be the villain.
Yeah, I like it.
Idiot.
Fool, wow. Man.
Big Duke hypocrite.
All that bias. Dookie. All that bias just out there showing. All the homers.
ESPN's got too many Dookies.
Yeah, it's run by Duke.
I was talking to a friend about that last night, actually. Like, a lot of the college basketball people are from Duke. College basketball analysts.
The college game day crew is two Dukies. it's Billis and Williams, even though Billis is great.
Yeah, I love Billis.
Billis is fantastic, and I wasn't annoyed by Jay Williams until last night, him just being an utter hypocrite. Now, of course, that's not to condone Frank Howard trying to trip Zion Williamson his first game back from an injury. I don't think anybody condones that, but...
Yeah.
Don't be a hypocrite, man.
Sure.
This is the day of social media. All the stuff you say is out there, man. There's that video of you out there. We have the receipts, Mr. Williams.
Yeah.
We have the receipts.
We have the proof.
But, Duke, gets a win last night. That sets up Duke Carolina Part 3 tonight.
Part 3.
It's going to be the first game where Zion should play the entire game healthy. This is obviously going to make a difference, but do we think Duke gets it done against the Hills tonight?
Yes.
I think so, too. Yeah. Zion playing.
Losing twice already at UNC, and now with Zion playing.
Yeah. It's the perfect storm for him. Yeah.
How big of a blow to just Duke's facade this season so far? They just get 0-3 swept by UNC.
I would love to see it. I really would.
Especially with a healthy Zion.
Yeah. That was everybody's biggest excuse for him. Oh, but they don't have Zion, even though the rest of the squad is 5 stars.
They're tipping off the same time Tennessee does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, that kind of sucks. I'd really want to watch that one.
Well, if you're at a bar, hopefully TVs will.
Well, I mean, just put my entire attention on that.
Yeah, that's the power of television.
That's also true. We'll be paying attention to that one tonight. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two is on deck. Coming up next, 865-546-8200 to join on the show. 1 hour down, one more remaining. More of Overtime on the other side.
Where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes. It's a little secret just around me.